This is the 610 series for the few people, the many people that are in my shir on the Thursday nights, which we've had many of them over the year. This is the culmination of the Ben Adam L'Chaveiro Shiurim. Now, I usually save the shir of Kibbud Av V'Em for last, for obvious reasons, in that, you know, in a few days' time, you will be reunited with your parents, Be'ezrat Hashem, everybody.
Oh, man.
And, I was thinking if I should say the person who just said that.
My brother.
Sorry. Not right. It was Scott. It's not right. So, it's very important.
But John said it.
It was very important that that we're very familiar with the halachas of Kibbud Av V'Em. The great thing about learning the halachas of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro over the course of the year, which some of us have done, we're zocheh to do, is that we might know many things. You know, we might know many halachas, or think that we know many halachas. They might sound familiar, but oftentimes we don't know where they're found, where they come from. And one of the greatest part of the things that I love about the shiurim in particular is actually learning the sources of where many halachot come. We'll find that the many, sometimes they're psukim, sometimes they're gemara, sometimes they're minhag, sometimes they're gezerit or rabbanon, whatever it is, but we should know, we should become familiar with the sources. So Kibbud Av V'Em is something that's very familiar and well known to everybody. It's one of the Ten Commandments in the Torah. What we're going to do is we're going to try to define what Kibbud Av V'Em is, what it is not, what Mora Av V'Em is, what's fear, the difference between honoring and fearing your parents. Those are two distinct mitzvahs in the Torah, and that's what we're going to start off with today. So source number one, Kavod et avicha ve'et imecha l'man yerichun imecha adamah she'Hashem Elokecha noten lach. It's obvious that in Parshas Yisro, when the Kabbalah Satorah, the Ten Commandments, so here we have obviously clearly the idea of Kibbud Av V'Em. Right? Both parents, father and mother, are mentioned. Father is mentioned first, alongside Kibbud, honoring. Then we scroll down to source number two, Parshas Kedoshim, we have Ish Imo V'Avav Tira'u. Interestingly, if you think about this, so in Perek Yud Tet Pasuk Gimel in Sefer Vayikra, it says the opposite, not opposite, but it switches the order around. Ish ima ve'aviv tira'u, the ima comes first, and there we talk about fear. So we have two separate commandments in the Torah, one to honor our parents, and one to fear our parents. And when we speak about honoring our parents, the av comes first, and we speak about fearing our parents, the aim, the mother, comes first. So why that is brought down famously that a person is more likely to honor his mother because, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, the people are often feel closer to their mother. So the Torah goes out of its way to say, no, kaveda savich, obviously you have to honor both of them. But the Torah first speaks about the father, because normally a person has more fear of their father, and more honor for the mother. So the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, I mean, obviously honor your mother, but also you have to honor your father. And then the second time, when it talks about Yira, the Yira that is, you know, it's obvious that we're going to fear our father. It's less obvious to fear your mother. So comes the Torah and says, no, Ish Imo. First fear your mother, and then the Torah says also to fear your father. So I can't use that. So what is fear and what is honor for a mother and father is what we're going to basically talk about today. Before we get to the specifics of what the halacha of fearing and honoring is, let's talk about the point of this mitzvah. Why do we have a mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em? Why? Why does the Torah say Kavod et avicha v'imecha? What's the point? Why? What's the point? The answer is not so obvious. Don't be so quick to answer. But If you want, Mike, you can feel free to answer quickly.
I think it's because, honoring your parents is just one step in the process that might lead to honoring God and fearing God. So by honoring your parents who brought into the world, Kavachomer, you should honor God who brought everything into the world.
Dead on, right, very good. So the chinuch brings famously this answer. Yeah, shkach. Then the source number three, the chinuch says, Mishar shemitzvah is something that's not so obvious. You wouldn't have thought that, right, necessarily. You would have thought, if I asked somebody in the street, why does the Torah say that you have to command your father and your mother? You'd say, yeah, because they kar satov, they do a lot for you, right? They feed you, they house you, so they deserve a modicum of honor, at least. Right? That would be the obvious answer. We come to Mr. Reiner and he says, no, correctly so, as the chinuch tells us that every mitzvah is ultimately to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. May I make something?
Almost.
Every mitzvah somehow is there to connect us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the chinuch, he emphasizes the fact that it says kaveh and it says the yira, but then he famously says, let me find it for you. Hishva katav birchata aveim the birchata makam. The Torah connects blessing of father and mother or honoring to that of honoring Hashem. Why? So says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Shutvin Hein Ba'adam. There are three partners. Famous Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. The second to last line in the Gemara, quoted in source number three. Tanu Rabbanan, Shlosha Shutvin Hein Ba'adam. There are three partners in man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Aviv V'Ima. Hashem, father and the mother. V'zman Sha'adam Mechabit Et Aviv Et Ima. At a time when Adam, when a person honors his father and mother, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ma'ali Ani Aleihem, Kilu Darti Beinem Bechabduni. As if I'm living amongst them, and they have honored me. So we see a clear connection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says himself that ultimately the shorash of the mitzvah is to honor Hashem, to bring kavod to Hashem. And that you do by honoring your parents. Why? Because they're all partners in your creation. You're only here because your father and mother and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided together to create you. There's a famous story I once read. Before we get to the particulars of what kavod and what Amon, fear are. There's an Israeli guy who went to America to collect money. He was Baruch Hashem blessed with many, 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 many children. That many is 12 children, right? Two over Mishpachat Shine.
One less than Wittgenstein.
And he was in a lot of financial distress. He went to America to collect some funds, and he goes to this wealthy man and he says, I have to marry off my children. I have 12 children. So the guy lashes out and he says, well, who told you to have 12 kids, right? That's your problem. You decided to have 12 kids. That's your problem. And he gives him about to give him a meager check, maybe $18, high, and leave. And the guy says, you can give me whatever you want, but I just want to tell you one thing. He says, if you had the chance, the guy was a chacham, he says, if you had a chance to be partners with Warren Buffett, he says to the wealthy man, this Israeli guy says to the wealthy man, if you had a chance to be partners with Warren Buffett, would you do it or not? This guy says, why are you asking this question? He says, just answer the question. If you had a chance to be partners with Warren Buffett, would you do it or not? He says, of course. So the Israeli guy says, well, why? Why would you want to do that? He says, what do you mean? If I had the chance to be a partner with Warren Buffett, I would make millions. And I'd be even more wealthy than I already am. Of course I would want to be partners with the best businessman in the world, with Warren Buffett. So he says, oh. So what are you blaming me for wanting to be a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? The Gemara in Kedushin says that there are three partners that create a person. Hashem, the wife, and the father. So it says, I'm 12 times over a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you're blaming me for wanting to be more a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're saying that you want to be a partner with Warren Buffett? I want to be a partner with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the guy said, you're right. And he gave him a nicer check than he originally did. Idea being that, every time a person has a child, he has the chance to be a shutuf, to be a partner with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's ultimately, again, It's a side benefit. When we give kavod to our parents, ultimately giving a kavod to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So now let's discuss for the remainder of our time here the difference between kavod and yira and fear. What is kavod? What is mora? What is fear? That the Gemara in Kedushin also says in Laman Alpha and Beis, the next daf in the Gemara. And what quote, source number 4, Tanur Rabbanan, Ezehu mora ve'ezehu kibush, straight, right, direct question. What is fear and what is kavod? So mora, says the Gemara, fear, lo omid bimkomo, do not stand in his place, where he usually stands. Lo yoshe bimkomo, don't sit in his chair. Lo sote at devarov, do not contradict his words. Velo machriyo, and do not decide for him. That is also usur, to decide for your father. Now, why is that? Why did the Gemara say that deciding for your father is usur? What's wrong with deciding? Your father says, should we go to Chosen? Or should we go to Sushi Tokyo, right? So it's thinking, and then you say, and then we say, go to a chop shop.
Stop chop.
Anyway, the other people listening here. Yeah. So a person should not just go and be able to decide for his father. Why? Why should a person not decide for your father? What's so bad about deciding for your father, for your mother? What? Why? Why does it undermine credibility?
It's lack of code.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, Evan, very good. So if a person's deciding for your father, that means you're equating yourself to your father. I am somebody that can decide for you. And that's not how we have to look at our parents. We have to look at our parents as a generation ahead of us, more knowledgeable, and therefore able to make decisions on their own, and therefore we should not be making it for them. That is mora. The common denominator of all these things are the don'ts. Do not sit in his chair. Do not stand in his place where he normally davens. My grandfather should be well, in terms of standing in the place where you daven. My grandfather has in his office a framed piece of carpet with a big hole in the middle of that carpet. Grandpa Stamen, my father's father, has in his office a piece of carpet with a big hole in it, and it's his most proudest picture in all of it in his office. Out of anything there, it is his most valuable possession in his office. What is that? That piece of carpet is a piece of carpet that's in his shul where he davens, and he stands in the same exact place for decades. He has stood in the same exact place and davened Shemon Esrei in that same exact place. And they bore a hole through the carpet because he stood there in that same place for so many years. So that's what it means. Omid bimkomo, a person. I wouldn't be able to stand in that place because that's where my grandfather stands. That's where my father stands. That's fear. What is kavod? Says the Gemara, kibud machal amashka. The dudes go feed him, give him a drink. Malbish if he needs to be clothed. Umechasa to be covered, machnas and motzi, you should escort him in, escort him out. Those are the do's, the proactive things. That's kavod. So mora are the don'ts, what you have to desist from. The kibud are the things that you should do. Brought down the Shulchan Aruch again. Ezem mora lo yama bimkoma. All the things that the Gemara brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down and adds a few things. So if you see in the next source, it says exactly what the Gemara says. Then it adds, the second line, the last word on the line, V'lo yikre'enu v'shmo. You are not allowed to call them by name. That is usur, it should be obvious, although I've heard this in my lifetime. People calling their parents, Rahman al-Islam, by their first name. That is a tremendous lack of kavod. Lo b'chayav, lo b'moto. Not in their lifetime, and not after 120, after they die. Elo omer avi mori. However, says the Shulchan Aruch, hayashem aviv kishem acherim. What if your father's name is Evan, but you also have a friend Evan? It's a problem. Mishana Shema, try to change, call your friend by his last name. Okay, something like that. Instead of saying by his first name. Why? Because the post coming down, because it's going to be a millisecond where your father is going to think that you're actually calling him by his first name. That's going to cause him distress. So you can't do that, so call your friend by his last name versus by his first name.
Is that in the presence of your father or like in general?
In the presence of your father.
Oh.
Also, what about friends' parents?
Friends' parents is not, you don't have a chiyuv of, I mean, if they're okay with it, then fine. But by a father should never be said. Even if they would say to you it's okay, it's, I don't know, I can't imagine the situation, but whatever it is. I've given this shir many years, and there have been a few times already where kids say that they know other kids who call their fathers or parents by their first names.
That's true.
Yeah, you, every year people say that they know people like that. So obviously, it's not so obvious.
Always call their parents by their first names, or like as a joke.
Either way, it's usher, so I'm not really sure how they would even do it at all. Okay. Obviously, the Meshach Chachma brings down the halacha that it doesn't matter how religious your parents are. That does not come into the equation whatsoever. Your parents could be as irreligious as the most religious person, but you require, obviously, to honor them as you would any other parent. There's an interesting question. Yeah, what?
Does it also apply to care?
Or you mean what is
that? It's not related to
care.
Someone converts, it's not related to his family.
After he had his children?
Saying he had it, he was aware, and then his father is not Jewish.
Oh, yeah, so then that doesn't. Yeah, so then his father's not Jewish.
This came out also apply?
So interesting.
Good
question. There's a chuvas for Binyamin Ze'ev, and he asked the following question. He's reminding me of this. He asked the following question. Why don't we make a bracha before we fulfill the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avei?
Make a constant.
Nope. Or you also make one.
Yeah, so every day, the first one, wake up in the morning, if we're near our parents, or we know we're going to speak to our parents, we should make the bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem, Kenev Acham HaShek Lishan, Mitzvotav Etzivanu.
Because we're also often not mechuvah to our parents.
That's not a reason. That's not a reason.
You make a bracha in the morning, and then you're just not at all.
Yeah, but you have an requirement to do it. So he says, interesting answer. He says that we don't make brachot on mitzvot that goyim do. I don't know how applicable it would be nowadays. My father's a pediatrician. My father's a children's doctor. And he says that you cannot believe the chutzpah nowadays. What chutzpah that people have. He deals a lot with non-Jews, the non-Jewish community. His practice is in East Rockaway, so it's like more a non-Jewish community. But he said you cannot believe what these people say, these kids say to their parents. My father has to restrain himself. My father's a very, very big proponent of kibbutz. For everybody, but especially for parents. And so we were taught in our house. And it's very, very hard for him to hear something like that, but he sees it all the time. So as the generations get further and further away from Har Sinai, the tshuva Rabbi Yamin Ze'ev has become less and less obvious, because at this time it was poshut that everybody, even a non-Jew, would honor their parents, and by hopefully most people do. However, since it's such a similar thing, it doesn't differentiate a Jew from a non-Jew, because even non-Jews separate honor their parents, so therefore we can't say Asher Kedishana b'mitzvot, meaning it doesn't make us more holy because something that they also did. It's an interesting answer. It doesn't mean that they have a chiyuv, it just means that something that they do, so it doesn't separate us from non-Jews.
Don't think so,
don't think so.
What about charity?
Charity? What do you mean by charity? By tzedakah, to make a bracha by tzedakah?
I feel like there's cultures in the world where kids just always call their parents by their first names. So in that situation...
No, for us it would never be mutter. It's not mutter.
No, in that situation, you make a brother.
Oh. He says in by and large, that's what he means, yeah.
How about eating food? Going to
Make a bracha on what?
Thanks.
It's kosher. Yeah, they're for what?
You're also making a bracha on
what? They do.
They make a bracha on the
food? They eat food. So why do we make a bracha?
I've never seen a goy making a bracha.
Exactly. No, it's just asking. You said we don't make a bracha on something going to be like it's just a mitzvah.
Yeah, that's different. That's Gemara brachas. We all know why that...
Sorry.
Yeah, for bracha rishona. Excellent. Okay, so let's go on. Yeah.
Huh?
Son of
father,
well,
you're
not related.
You're satiated. When you bring a
rough on your hungry? When his father became
a
rough okay. So now. So that's kibud, and that's mora. Very important. Obviously, the Gemara brings down the Shulchan Aruch brings down for the Gemara. You cannot contradict your parents. It's obvious. And the shame mora. Oh, okay. How far does this idea of mora of fearing your parents covered go? So there's the famous case in the Gemara brings down also in Kiddushin, I believe. That I forgot who it was, but was wearing a levush chamudot. He was the rav, and he was at a table, and he was wearing special clothes as the manning, the leader. And his mother was crazy, and she came up and she tore his clothes. Put some clothes in front of him, and he didn't do anything. She was, you know, obviously she was crazy, but she didn't do anything. And then we see from there how much he was quiet. How much a person has to be mechabed his parents. His parents could put them in the most embarrassing situation. My kids always tell me that all the time. They always say, "Tati, don't speak." Whenever they have Israeli friends come over, they say, "Tati, just be quiet. Don't say anything. Your Hebrew is going to embarrass us." So I have to, I guess I try to keep my mouth shut, but I don't really have to, obviously. You have to go to great lengths to be mechabed your parents, even if it's going to be put you in an embarrassing situation. Now, in terms of kavod for your parents, how much you have to do for our parents? So the Gemara tells us a person has to help feed them, help give them drinks. What about pain? Pain. If it's going to cost me money to take care of your parents, are elderly now. So now, do I have to pay money in order to be mechabed them? Or does the chiyuv, I mean, I'm talking about what the chiyuv is. Obviously, you should do whatever you need, whatever it requires to help your parents out. But I'm just saying, in terms of that halachic chiyuv, what's my halachic chiyuv obligation towards honoring my parents? Do I have to spend money or not? So the answer is, Gemara brings down, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, that in Siman Reish Mem, the Hilchos Kibud Avim, that a person does not have to, really, at first, like in a nursing home, the parents should have to pay for themselves, okay? If the parents cannot afford to sustain themselves and the child could, then they have a chiyuv to pay for their parents, pay for their food, for their whatever it is. However, if neither of them can pay for anything, they can't afford, the son is not obligated to go around to collect money for his parents. It's obviously a good idea to do that, and he'll get a tremendous mitzvah. But in terms of the actual chiyuv, he does not have an actual chiyuv of paying, of collecting money in order to feed his parents.
The paying like stuff is there's a
good. Huh?
If he has the money,
if he's able to afford it, and his parents cannot afford it, so then he has a chiyuv to do it. If his parents can afford it, they just, whatever, it's, they want to keep more money in the bank for later on, they think they're going to live forever, or they're going to live many, many more years, so then you don't have an obligation. They really have to take out the money and help them sustain themselves before they're able to turn to their son. Okay, a few more things. In terms of standing up for your parents, what's the halacha? Okay, I know every year the kids tell me, my father and my parents tell me the same, like, "No, you don't have to stand up for us. You're crazy." And you know, anybody who goes home and starts standing up for their parents, they're going to think that you're crazy and you're flipped out. But you still have an obligation to do it. The Shulchan Aruch brings down in the second to last source. Davar pashut hu b'gemara dechayev l'amod b'nei avi v'imo. A person is pashut. It's obvious. The person has to get up, stand up for his parents. A person has to stand totally erect. He has to stand fully. Not one of those half, you know, half jobs standing up things. He has to stand up totally. The Gamir, the Gemara, Sham, Derak, Kishishim, as he hears his father coming in or his mother coming in. Okay? Third line, two lines down. She'en lo'lokim b'nei rabu el shachar v'arvi. You have to fully get up for your parents only once in the morning, once at night. It's not something you have to do every single time. If you're sitting in the den, you know, and your father comes in, you don't have to, you know, get up from your chair and stand up totally every single time. Once in the morning, once at night is enough. Every other time, you should do like a little bit of a raise. You know, like it doesn't have to be so obvious. Just get up a little bit. If you don't want to get your parents upset, you could just pretend that you're adjusting yourself. Right? You don't have to fully get up. However, there is a caveat. If your parents say, John, you're crazy, I don't want you doing that for me, so then you do not have to do it. Okay? You're not obligated to do it. As the Gemara says, Ritzonim Zehu Kvodam. Their Ratzon is ultimately their kavod. What they want you to do is ultimately their kavod. For instance, you're going to get home, and your mother is going to say, "Oh, Mayor, I want to serve. I want to make your favorite dish. You know, the favorite supper." And you're sitting down, and she says, "I want to serve it to you." Say, "No, Ma, I can't. You're not allowed to serve me. I have to serve you." And she says, "No, Mayor, look, I love you so much, and I want to show you how happy I am that I have you home, and how happy I am to send you back for a second year afterwards." So let me show, while you're here for the next few weeks, I want to show my love for you. So that you're allowed to. You're allowed to have your parents serve you because Ritzonim Zehu Kavodam. This is their Ritzon. They want to serve you. They're happy. Parents actually like to serve their kids. So in that case, it's 100% mutter to do it as long as they say that they want to do it.
Yeah, verbal feel that way. You just imply based on like how you know them well enough. Like if they say, "I don't want you setting up for me," it's fine, don't worry about it. Or you can assume based on like how they raise you that it's like they don't.
You probably should get a. It probably best to get a verbal one.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do. You could just say, "Mom, you know, can I help?" And she says, "No, you know, I want." That'll be enough. Waking up your parents from their slumber. That's a famous Gemara also in Kedushin, right? So that is Asur. You're not allowed to wake up your parents. However, the Aruch HaShulchan, the second to last source, has a very important halacha to this. And he says, the Chayyadim, he says as follows. This is the last source. He says, Avon rotzim mahaber mimenu rebach ba'alma. Yeah, sorry. Below it, Ela shafilu ove v'imo yishenim u'mavtecha u'tchanuto, the mavtech from the Gemara, the keys of the store are under the pillow, shoben tachad v'sheyem, also la'akita mishnata minala to wake them up from the slumber, afa pisha yadezeh yafsid harbi, even though they're going to lose a lot of money. Ava! Imba revach la'aviv, but if there's going to be a tremendous profit to your father, v'imlo yakit zotayin, if you do not wake him up, yote mitzta'er, you are going to cause him much more pain, mipnei b'niyah t'revach, because of the loss that he will incur, mitzvah l'hakitzo, it's a mitzvah to wake him up. Me'achah sha'av sameach b'zeh, after your father will be very, very happy. V'chein kishemakitzo l'alecha d'beit ha'kneset, ol d'var mitzvah, shekulam chayav mikvod ha'makom. So too, you could assume that your father, assuming your father would want to wake up, for sure. If, Rachmana Litzlan, your father is not interested in waking up for shul, he could care less, it's not something he's interested in doing, then it is also for you to wake him up. That is his prerogative, that is his choice, that he doesn't want to get up for minyan. However, if you'd assume that he would want to get up, so you could wake him up, if you want to err on the side of caution, maybe ask your mother to do it, or something along those lines, if you want to get out of it. Last thing I'll tell you, this is a lot of guys have a problem with this. It's not discussed in this year, but since anyway we're talking about Kibbutz Avayim, I'll end off with this. There is an Issa Daraisa, Chi of Misa, for hitting, smiting your father, causing a wound, causing him to bleed. Post can bring down, doesn't have to bleed, even to bruise. Is an Issa Daraisa, Chi of Misa. If you were living in the time of Beis Din, and you got Hasra and Eidim, you would be killed for hitting a parent. So that's a very serious offense. We're makbid, we're stringent, even when it's done b'shogeg, by accident. So a lot of halachas have come from this. I'll give you an example. When I was in Morosh HaKollel in the year 1998, I'm not sure. Great year. Yankees, I guess, won the World Series. I wouldn't know. However, 97, I was in Morosh HaKollel. And Mordechai Willich Shlita, Rosh Hashiva in YU, used to play basketball with us. He used to exercise and play basketball with us. And at the time, his children were also in camp with me, in Morosh HaKollel. See, he was always very, very makbid that you only play basketball when his children are on the court if they play on his team. He will never play against his children. The reason for that is that he wanted them to be on their team, so that way he wouldn't have to worry about defense against a son inadvertently hitting the father, fouling his father, whatever it is, and then causing a bruise, which is an issur d'oraisa. So he would never play against his children. They had to play on his team. You have to be very, very careful about that. And if your father wants to play basketball with you, it's something you have to be very, very careful with. Seriously. Play very lightly, whatever it is. You're not allowed, you cannot cause a bruise to your father no matter what. That's why, if let's say you're a dentist or a surgeon, right? And your father probably thinks that you're the best dentist around, the best surgeon around, and he would need that surgery, he would need that dentistry work done. You are not allowed to be his dentist because you're going to cause a bruise. Unless it's pikuach nefesh, you have to have your friend or somebody that you really think is a great dentist do it instead of you. You're not allowed to work on my brother-in-law is a dentist, and he also would not, even though my father-in-law went to the clinic when he was in dental school because it was very cheap, but he was careful not to work on his father, and somebody else had to do the work. You can't cause a bruise to your father no matter what. So that's in sports. That's even if he wants to play with you, it's not going to matter. It's something you have to be very careful on. Yeah.
So this isn't the case of Ratzon Kavod.
Let's see. It's not Ratzon Kavod. It's a separate thing. I'm just bringing it in as terms of relationship with parents. Now, in a few days' time, you'll be seeing your parents. Something you have to really think about, okay? In terms of halacha, we are quiet. We do not tell our parents what to do, as the halacha brings down. Even if you see they're doing something wrong, if you know that they are not going to appreciate it, or they don't really care to hear about it, I don't care what it has to do with. It could be halacha, it could be anything. You're not allowed to say anything. They're not allowed to ask you to do something against halacha. You're not allowed to listen to them if they ask you to do something that's against halacha, because they have an achiyuv to follow the laws just like you do. So you know, they're not allowed to ask you to do something that's asr. Okay? If you're in doubt as to whether the thing is asr or not, you should definitely ask. Do not err on the side of caution and not listen to them. Rather, clarify it first. And again, unless your parents are people that want to hear more, like Baruch Hashem in my house, my mother and father always wanted to hear more. If they were doing something wrong, they would want to know. So that's figure out how to say it in a proper way, but you're allowed to say that if you know that they'd want to hear about it. So it should be zocha to get home safely, see our parents, give them a big hug and kiss, thank them for the year that they gave you, and we should be zocha many years to honor our parents and mothers for many years to come.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.